We live in a society that has now become comfortable labeling kids with myriad syndromes, disorders, and other behavioral maladies. Is it possible, though, that the root of many of these so-called maladies may actually be the dangerous influences that we as parents and as a society have simply grown accustomed to? Considering how many hours a day we're being fed by entertainment in general, and music in particular, have we allowed the sounds and influences of the world to lure us and our children toward a worldview that is ripe for self-destruction? We'll be talking about that today on License to Parent. Hello and welcome to License to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential therapeutic program working with teens in crisis and their families. Our goal, to take the lessons learned inside the gates of Shepherd's Hill outside the gates to equip you to be the kind of parent your teen needs and the kind of parent that God wired you to be. Our host on License to Parent is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Academy, Trace Embry. And Trace, I know today's topic is definitely one of your hot buttons. You speak often about how music is a tremendous spiritual and emotional force that really far too many of us take way too lightly.
Man, you just said it. Because music is so deeply spiritual, I think that's the very reason why the masses can so easily blow it off as just mere entertainment. Because we live in a society, Rich, that regardless of how religious we think we might be, we're incredibly spiritually immature and even less spiritually discerning, and there's a difference. Consequently, because worship and entertainment are cousins, the masses are easily duped. And if you don't believe me, just turn on any number of so-called Christian TV programs, and you'll get a full dose of circus acts from A to Z. Just the fact that multitudes of naive and gullible people will send their money to support some of these goat rodeos ought to tell us something. And I know I'm being a little harsh, but I'm telling you, we really do need some discernment. But unfortunately, for so many of us, it's just not there. And Twinkies to the tongue, or pornography to the eyes, or carbon monoxide to the nose. If we don't notice it, or if it makes us feel good, or if it gives us an adrenaline rush, we naively assume it's innocuous, or in some cases, even wonderful.
I am loving some of the wordplay you're using here, goat rodeos. That's good. Well, our guest today for over 20 years has been delivering the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ through a state-of-the-art multimedia seminar entitled They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. That message has influenced thousands to turn from the negative influences of the culture toward God and to the spiritual influences that lead to positive spiritual growth. Our guest's name is Joe Schimmel. You may have heard of Pastor Schimmel. He is, by the way, the senior pastor at Blessed Hope Chapel, an evangelical non-denominational fellowship in Simi Valley, California. Now, that's a position he's held since about 1990. But Joe is also involved with Good Fight Ministries. That's a nonprofit organization that specializes in teaching and encouraging spiritual warfare against the powers of darkness, as well as sharing important insights as they relate to biblical prophecy and to the end times. And Joe, we are delighted to have you with us on License to Parent. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, it's great to be with you. I think we have to update our profile page. I've been doing this, I guess, over 30 years now, because I was doing it almost 10 years before I started pastoring at Blessed Hope.
Since you were three. I'll make a note of that. Yeah, since you were 3 years old.
Yeah, well, Joe, myself.
Thanks for being with us. Joe, you produced this video series, They Sold Their Soul to Rock and Roll. Can you tell us about why you did this? What led you to produce something like this?
It was basically through what I went through before I became a Christian and when I became a Christian. To try to put it in a nutshell, I had opened myself up to occult powers, not believing in Jesus Christ, believing that the idea of the concept of Satan and so forth was a joke. Mm-hmm. And I ended up opening myself up to the very forces that I laughed off and ended up getting into the power of the subconscious mind and psycho-cybernetics books that were lying around my house at the age of 16, 17. And I ended up practicing these forms of visualization. And before I knew it, my electric guitar music began to sound like sitar music. My lyrics were pushing Eastern mysticism, New Age concepts. I was basically being initiated into New Age teaching through my own lyrics. And I was glorifying Satanism. I was writing lyrics like treacherous meadows touched by the devil, burdened with calamity and subdued by disease. And first song I wrote, the lyrics talked about I could hear my mother screaming, my sister dreaming, my father dying, my brother crying. And And at first I was troubled at the devil for the reason, but then the choice of Don, it be my soul or that of my family, is to be treason. I couldn't win to be a devil or a demon. And then the end of the song, there I lie at the bottom of this pit. And so I went, or maybe so, and so I left with my soul and began to rock and roll. It was basically an anthem of praise for rock music. And I looked at the Satan type stuff, and this stuff was channeled. Mm-hmm. I thought, wow, why am I promoting? I don't even believe in Satan. Well, I guess it's just a cool way. My subconscious is tapping what's to be popular in the 80s, and just ahead of the curve. And sure enough, as things got worse and I began to bad demonic activity, I started to realize, well, I'm not in touch with my subconscious mind. I'm in touch with an evil spirit world. I cried out to Jesus Christ and was delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I began to witness to my family and friends, and now my mom, all three of my sisters, my brother, they all serve faithfully and have been for several years at the fellowship that I pastor. So what Satan meant for evil, God turned for good.
Absolutely.
But I began to look at the music. I began to see the same common denominator, an antichrist spirit, artist over and over again talking about possession, channeling lyrics, leading artists from the 50s onward and until today.
Now, so do you have to be able to have this channel you're talking about? Because when I write music, I'll sit down before the Lord with my guitar in hand, and I'll just be strumming along, and all of a sudden I get strongly impressed to put a word down on paper, a particular chord change or whatever, and then another word here, and another word there, and before you know it, it starts coming together, and I realize all I got to do is put a few is's and ands and thes. This story's already written. Now, does that happen to you, or am I just weird?
No, I'd say before I was a Christian, I would say it was far different than writing music after I became a Christian. I noticed the process is far different. It's not because when you're channeling demons, it's a far different experience than talking about what you're talking about, where you can get impression. Number, there's a difference. Of course, one's going to glorify Satan, one's going to glorify God.
Right.
Of course, I know you're not speaking of inspiration on the level of the psalmist, where David would write psalms that were actually part of the canon of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that God can move upon our hearts, and he's given us creative abilities to begin with on the natural level. But on the spiritual level, I believe those creative abilities are enhanced by the Holy Spirit. But I don't believe that you have to have, been a musician to understand what's going on in the spiritual world and how Satan is affecting the world. I believe we get that from Scripture, and there's many Scriptures that warn us of this spiritual world, and also there's many Scriptures that speak to us about music. In fact, there's so many Scriptures. There's over 800 verses in the Bible that speak about singing unto the Lord. It's the most repeated command in all of Scripture. The biggest book in the Bible is a song book, the Book of Psalms.
Right. But even Jesus made a distinction in music. He said, we played the flute for you, you didn't dance. We played a dirge, you didn't mourn. So there's, you don't play a polka at your honeymoon. You don't play a circus music at a funeral. We subconsciously, we know that there are certain types of music that are appropriate and inappropriate. You don't take the theme to the Munsters and expect it to work in the movie Braveheart.
Amen. And you wouldn't use a theme music for The Omen or a horror movie and
right.
put it in the church nursery.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Well, it depends on the outcome you want. But yeah, point well made. I would like you to address, though, this aspect of the type of music. Clearly, back in the 1950s, the type of music that one heard in church was vastly different than the type of music that we're hearing now in church. How much of the spiritual influence comes through the style itself, as opposed to coming through the lyrics, in your opinion?
Yeah, I try to look at three criteria biblically, and one, of course, would be lyrical content. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as a personal, biblical guide. I also look at the lifestyle. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals, and sometimes there's professing Christian musicians that are for the money. Even Marilyn Manson created a death metal band to get in death metal clubs, so-called Christian one at first, in Spin Magazine article interview. He admitted that, and they were targeting Christians. And the third criteria I look at, first one, the lyric content, second one, is this person a believer, these people that are, if I'm going to have music that I'm going to use to glorify God. And number three, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about musical style, but it does say enough for me to, I try to speak where the Scriptures speak and not speak where the Scriptures don't speak,
because
one of the very strongest things that Jesus dealt with in the early when he came on the scene was a bunch of religious rules that were alienating people from coming to him. So I want to make sure that I don't ever make rules and say, hey, you've got to go by these rules because right. this is my personal subjective experience. Mm-hmm. But the scriptures do say, and I've looked for the style-wise in scripture, and it does say to praise him with all kinds of instruments and what have you, but it also says to sing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And that to me speaks of style, what kind of attitude we should have when we're praising God, and it should be done with grace. Some translations say with thanksgiving. And this gets a little subjective, but for me, a lot of the music out there, it's not sang with grace. There's so-called Christian screamo, where it sounds to me like, you know, legion of demons are, mm-hmm. you know, screaming out. I mean, it's like, I'd have to, you'd have to get almost a scary, raspy voice and just scream and like a demon. And this is very popular among the youth right now.
Right.
To me, a lot of the, and I'm not, you know, saying all of it, but a lot of the rap music, a lot of times the style is very arrogant, you know, mm-hmm. very proud, you know, kind of like what comes off the streets, but then it's baptized in with Christian lyrics. And I'm not saying every, you know, hip-hop song and so forth comes off that way, but for me personally, I do believe there's a lot of music where the style of the music can actually communicate an attitude,
yeah.
and which is not one of thanksgiving and grace.
Well, the way sure. we put that here is I tell people, I don't believe that all rap music or rock music is of the devil. I think I can say with all clear conscience, the devil has found a home in that kind of music. No more than
that's a good way to put it. I agree.
No more than I would say that all prosperity teachers are charismatics, but they have found a home in the charismatic movement. So that's how I would put that. But I'm going to ask you this, let me go back to that because I do feel that the deeper part of music's influence is actually in the music itself, and the lyrics are secondary. And I'll run this by you, then you can comment. Because I believe that the lyrics have to get filtered through the intellect first, whereas the music bypasses the intellect and speaks directly to the soul. We do a test here at Shepherd's Hill with these kids, and it's a test where we play 9 songs and we stagger them. Songs 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9 are this beautiful orchestra music. Songs 2, 4, 6, and 8 are this screamo stuff, which you can barely understand. And what happens is I tell the kids, I want you to give me, you know, the emotions that you feel in all this music. And long story short, I'll try to get to the point. The beautiful orchestra music has about 40 different adjectives: love, peace, order, heaven, angels. About 40 adjectives like that. And then I go to the other side and give me what you're feeling here. And they'll tell you darkness, pain, rage, chaos, suicide, devils, demons, blah blah blah. And then I ask them, can these terms cross over? And they say no, they absolutely can't cross over. And I've been doing this for years. And then I'll say, okay, now one of these styles of music is all Christian music, and one of these styles are all secular music. Which one's which? And until about the last year and a half, they would all tell you the orchestra music was the Christian music. But the truth of the matter is, the screamo music, the music that's eliciting all these negative, dark adjectives, that's the Christian music. The orchestra music is from their soundtracks to Hollywood movies. And so my point is can God bless a life that is regularly being entertained by the very things that grieve his heart? And if our youth groups are playing this stuff and our kids are leaving, you know, wanting to commit suicide and chaos and, you know, and they're into all this stuff. I know some youth groups that are called Chaos.
Right.
Is there any wonder why we're having the struggle in our churches keeping kids in youth group that we are? I mean, go ahead and comment on that.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I mean, sometimes, you know, the lines are more subtle. I mean, do you draw the line, you know, before or after Keith Green or, you know, mm-hmm. But with screamo music, you know, I pastor fellowship. So, you know, we in leadership believe absolutely not allowed in our fellowship among the youth and what have you. And that's a, you know, as a parent, you could draw the line with your families as well, you know?
Yeah.
And so I do encourage people, and I use screamo because I think it's a very obvious example of something that I personally think sounds very demonic.
Right.
And I've had kids I've debated with, you know, that say, yeah, but the lyrics are really strong. I was talking to one. It's interesting you said that because they're leaving with a certain attitude you mentioned at times. I was talking to one young guy that was in a Screamo, and he had told me, he said, I have to admit that when I read the interviews of these Screamo leaders, the bands, over and over again, there's a consistency that many of them don't even go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And they're usually attacking Christianity and the expression of Christian faith that they don't like. And yeah. they said it comes off as you know, very, they come off as anti-Christian almost.
Right.
I thought, well, interesting.
Yeah, I can tell you from Scripture that the devil quoted the Word of God to the Word of God.
And yet he
did it in the spirit of the enemy. And so you can call anything you want to Christian, you can label it Christian, but if you come across wanting to kill yourself, and after playing some of these clips from Hell's Bells and from the Soul to Soul to Rock and Roll, I'm thinking of one kid in particular, we had to take him to a psych ward because it brought back stuff that, you know, he said, I'm going to kill somebody, I'm going to kill myself. And I asked him, what's causing this? He says, these sessions that we're doing, he says, it's bringing me back. It's causing these things. And it wasn't like he was into the lyrics. This is just the energy in the music itself. And so, you know.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In fact, Jimmy Page says that he, of Led Zeppelin, in an interview he did with a sorcerer, a known, you know, guy that was way more into magic even than Page cops, although Page admitted being in Crowley and so forth. Mm-hmm. Page said that he played certain chord structures to affect trances, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely some, you know, there should definitely be some concerns with musical style, 100%. I personally encourage people, because this blesses me the most in my life, is I do two things that I do most with music, is I believe we should just shut off Christian music and just praise God ourselves.
Yeah.
Because, you know, over and over again, we're told to sing unto the Lord, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you more. Sometimes I seek the Lord, and then this happened a few different times, and my radio breaks. So I just praise Him more that way. And then inundate ourselves, of course, with, you know, the Word of God, whether it's, you know, preaching of the Word, the reading of the Word, meditating on the Word, programs like yours that put things in perspective with the Scripture, but also music that I love, praise and worship music, where you just, where the music just is transcendent, it's elevating, it makes you want to praise God. It's not chaotic, it's not overcoming the Word. I was going down, I remember as a younger Christian, I was probably Christian 5 or 6 years, I was listening to a Christian band, a lot of the words were really good, but I noticed when I got to one particular song, really, really, really heavy guitar, and it went on for a while, and it was kind of my old style of music, and I noticed when that would happen, that I was not thinking about the Lord, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was more like a power rush of some sort, but well, it's just Christian, you know, kind of, well, praise God, this guy, and what I did, back in the days of the CDs, you know, mm-hmm. I popped it out, threw it out my window. I littered, but I realized that wasn't a good thing happening in my heart.
Yeah.
So I think we have to be really sensitive and say, is the music that we're listening to, you know, scriptural? You know, a lot of the music today isn't scriptural.
Yeah.
It's just it sounds like you could put a girl in the song and it's just a typical love song.
Right.
But I do believe we have to say, hey, is this music? Does it want me to get on my knees? Does it make me want to just serve God and glorify Him? And does it speak of the splendor of who He is and His sure. sacrifice and His love for us and being with Him forever,
yeah.
you know? And so much Christian music today, there's a huge problem. There was an interview in Christianity Today some years ago, a leading, you know, guy in the Christian, you know, CCM, contemporary Christian music industry, admitted that, you know, they're signing acts and so forth in that industry, and they're trying to stay away from the use of the name Jesus.
Yeah.
And there's a band that just came out.
It's called Market Share.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. And a leader of a popular Christian band came out, I think, 2-3 weeks ago and said that they're not getting airplay because they found out they were using the name of Jesus too much.
Yep.
And he was arguing with a certain, or dealing with one specific station.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in dire straits where Satan is like, he's like, just let it all out. And Christians are hiding, you know.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. So I really believe we need to get back to just praising God and emphasizing sound doctrine and song and music that glorifies Him, that we can have a sense of, you know, our transcendent God and who He is.
Sure.
It encourages us to want to lift our hands to Him and give Him praise.
Sure.
Amen. I need to jump in real quick because we need to take a break on behalf of our stations. We're talking today with Pastor Joe Schimmel. He's a senior pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California. But more than that, he is a person who has jumped in feet first or head first, depending on how you look at it, in a battle against the media and the culture taking over our lives in a very subtle way through music and through media. You'll find out more about Pastor Schimmel on the website goodfight.org or at his church website, blessedhopechapel.org. And we'll be back with more conversation on Licensed to Parent right after this.
Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org.
Remember back in the late 80s and early 90s as the internet hit the scene? You know, the information superhighway? We had great hopes that this new knowledge economy would make our teens more aware, diversify their tastes, and improve their verbal skills. But the Enlightenment didn't happen. Technology has had the opposite effect. What once promised great hope for the future is now used to indulge in diversions. The Dumbest Generation by Mark Bauerlein, subtitled How the Digital Age Stupefies Young Americans and Jeopardizes Our Future, or Don't Trust Anyone Under 30, presents a portrait of the young American mind at this critical juncture, revealing the true cost of the digital age and our last chance to fix it. The Dumbest Generation by Mark Bauerlein, available in the store at licensedtoparent.org. Proceeds benefit the Shepherd's Hill Academy Scholarship Fund.
Welcome back to Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel, and our special guest today is Pastor Joe Schimmel, Senior Pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, and the guy behind Good Fight Ministries at goodfight.org. And Trace, we were talking before the break about different styles of music that and how to discern which one's right and which one's wrong. I want to ask a quick question, Joe. You've talked about the type of music that brings you into a personal spirit of worship and whatnot, but that's not the only type of music a Christian would listen to. Worship music is not the all-encompassing basket for all of Christian music. So what about how you discern other types of music that would be appropriate for listening to just in general?
Yeah, I guess the Bible itself says to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, so it seems to speak of different types of music. I would personally say that all of those would be inclusive of worship. Can we listen to just, you know, good music without lyrics and what have you? I don't have a problem with that personally. I mean, David played the harp before King Saul. I don't know how many words he sang, but it was very powerful in itself because it drove the demons from King Saul.
Yeah.
So music, Christian music, can have an incredible effect. So me personally, I'm going to want, even if it's just a musical expression, I'd want to know that it's a believer doing it. I'm not saying that, you know, someone can't listen to music that's just, you know, piano music, nice piano music, and the person, you know, wasn't a believer that did it. I'm saying for me personally in my life, because I want that which is most edifying, that I believe would be most edifying and perhaps pleasing to God. I definitely want to please God.
Well, you would be like the health food nut of music, you know, and I would too, because I don't allow junk food into my system when it comes to music. Bach said all music should be for the glorification of God or the refreshment of the human spirit. But this requires spiritual discernment, because the question I get continually from these kids is, well, then how do I know good music from bad music? I said, you want the spiritual answer or the mechanical answer? Because the spiritual answer is, I don't know, but I know it when I hear it. Okay. Now, the mechanical answer is, if it gives you positive thoughts about yourself, your fellow man, or your God, then you know what? It's probably going to be all right. If you have negative thoughts about yourself, your fellow man, or your God, probably want to stay away from it. But to be fair, most music isn't all dark, black, and or all beautiful like this test that I do with these kids. A lot of it's right in the middle. But the same thing could be said for a lot of foods, especially today's foods with some of the junk that they put in there. And so we just have to be discerning when we listen. And at first, the order of business is, do I know my Lord? Do I know God? And is he pleased with what I'm listening to? That's really the bottom line.
You guys are really refreshing because we line up pretty, for me, in the viewpoint that I have. The food analogy is a good one. I use it sometimes as well. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's even more important because Jesus says, not what comes into the comes into the mouth that defiles the man, that which comes out of the heart.
Exactly.
And that which we store up, he says, in the heart comes out, and so forth. So it's even more important that we make sure what comes into our heart spiritually. And we do have a left hemisphere of the brain, as you know, and a right hemisphere. And the left hemisphere is more cognitive and discerning, and the right is more creative. And you know, we give an example, and they sold their souls for rock and roll, where, Madonna is leading tens of thousands of kids at a concert to sing, I'm going to ring my bell, and I'm going to go to hell, and they're just singing it over and over again. And this, your average person, you couldn't get 10,000 people together and say, hey, repeat after me. They wouldn't do it.
Exactly.
But you put a jingle to it, and it bypasses the cognitive hemisphere of the brain,
rests
in that right side of the brain, and then it becomes part of who you are.
Yep. That's why nursery rhymes have rhyme and beat and meter. It was originally designed so that you would remember it that way. And
how do we learn our ABCs?
Exactly.
How did you and I learn to build a Big Mac, to all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a tasty bun?
Exactly.
Wow, that's scary. You still know that.
Well, Joe, I am enjoying this conversation, and I would really appreciate it if you'd come back, and let's do this again, okay?
We'll make part two next week's program.
Let's do it, because there's so much more to discuss in this area.
Happy to be a guest.
Great. Good deal. Our guest today and next week, obviously, is Pastor Joe Schimmel, senior pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, and the guy behind Good Fight Ministries. And that presentation that Trace mentioned a moment ago, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Again, you can find out more and connect with Joe Schimmel at blessedhopechapel.org or at goodfight.org. And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. You'll find us online at licensedtoparent.org. We are regularly adding more great parenting resources to that site in order to help equip you to be the kind of parent that your teen needs and the kind of parent that God wired you to be. I invite you to take a moment today, though, and prayerfully consider whether God might be leading you to become one of our ministry partners. Your monthly support or your one-time gift to Licensed to Parent would go such a long way in helping families in need. And you can give securely online at our website, licensedtoparent.org, when you click the Donate button. Our time is up for today. So for Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you back again next time to join us and Joe Schimmel and to renew your Licensed to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.